Can I again give a very warm welcome to everyone who's come here today. Welcome to everyone watching on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or listening on podcast. And if you are new here today, we love having visitors, and this outrageous, enthusiastic, over-the-top round of applause is to welcome you here into our home, here at Grace. Let's welcome our guests! So good to have you here. As I look back over my life, I became a born-again Christian when I was 19. My family weren't Christian. There was a lot of hassle. And right from the beginning of my journey with God, I found myself in a lonely place. I found myself quite isolated because I had come to know the God of the Bible, and there were very few Christians around in Cork back then. So I want to speak into that, because at every occasion when I faced a difficulty, God has always broken through. Amen. I became a Christian in 1980, so that's 45 years ago. He hasn't always broken through the way I thought he would. And so often, as my word today says, it was not what I saw coming, but he has always broken through. And so I want to preach today a prophetic word. I first read this in a fresh way in April, but I knew I was to keep it for the August bank holiday weekend. So if you're new to Ireland, this is the big holiday of the year. So many people are away, but I knew I was to speak it today. So I'm going to speak from Mark chapter 6. Are you up to listen for the next 20 or 25 minutes? Yes. Praise God. Can I ask you to do a little favour? Could you put a hand on your heart just where you sit and a hand on your head? You don't have to if you don't want to, but we pray now, Lord, that the thoughts of our minds and the emotions of our hearts would be totally tuned in, not to my word, but to your word. Speak to us. And help us to have a revelation of what you might say into our lives this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, sisters. Right throughout the Gospels, we read of a very well-known miracle, which is called the feeding of the 5,000. But actually, it was way more than 5,000, because the way they wrote back then, they counted only the men. The women and the children weren't counted. But those 5,000 men were almost certainly the same number of women, and they had big families back then. So there was at least probably 5,000 men, 5,000 women, and probably 15,000 children. Talk about 75 teenagers. Can you imagine 15,000 kids? That's just an estimate. But there was a huge throng of people that Jesus fed. And I want to prophesy a word of hope into a world that doesn't offer much hope. And I believe it is applicable to many people who have chosen to come here today. So may God move in his power. Amen.
Amen.
When we look into Mark chapter 6, we begin to see almost straight away something happening. So it opens in Capernaum, which is the town that Jesus based himself in for over 3 years. It was where he ministered from. And if you read into it, most of the miracles and the healings and the teachings that happened in the gospel happened in a small triangular area up by the Sea of Galilee, with Capernaum as one of those important points. So here in the town, Jesus and his disciples are ministering, are healing, are blessing. But we are told in verse 31, it was so busy that the disciples didn't even have time to eat. So Jesus led them to a quiet place. How interesting that they were going to go to a place because they didn't have time to eat. So food is quite central to this miracle, and it is symbolic, and I'm going to use a theological word, anthropomorphic. It speaks deeper than what we just read, but it begins with them being so busy they don't even have time to eat. So Jesus led them to a quiet place. Why? Because he cares. Anyone say amen?
Amen.
Because he's concerned about you and me. Because he loves us. And so he led his disciples to a quiet place. Now, if you're a regular in this church, you know I love maps. But I have had a map for every time I've preached for a while. So I decided not to put up a map. Michael was speaking last week. He loves to quote the Irish writer, Christian writer C.S. Lewis. Dara loves an old song. I love a map. But I'm not going to put up a map, but it's very easy. Capernaum is by the Sea of Galilee. And from what we can gather, Jesus and the disciples took a boat and sailed down the coast a little. They didn't go across the lake. We don't think that happened. And what happened is that all the people started following on land. We are told in verse 34, as Jesus moved on, many people followed. Wherever Jesus leads you, follow him.
Yes.
Who'll say yes?
Yes?
Who'll say yes over here?
Yes.
If Jesus leads us somewhere, we follow him. So Jesus is moving on. Many people followed. And when Jesus saw them all, he had compassion on them and started to teach them. When I called out to the Lord as a 19-year-old, God had mercy on me. He had compassion on me. He's had compassion on you. Would you agree?
Yes.
So they all would have run along the shore by the lake, following the boat. Just think of it, thousands of people. It's like the population of a medium-sized Irish town. Like all the population of Tralee or Wexford or Sligo, one of those larger towns. There they are running down the side of the lake following Jesus. Where did they go to? It's almost certain. They went to a place called Tabgha near the Galilee. And if you go to Israel today, it's highly densely populated in the center and the north. This is the north. But even today, this area, Tabgha, doesn't have a lot of people living in it. It's unusual. It wasn't a desert. There was grass there, but there was nothing else there. So Jesus leads them to a quiet place. Here's the first fact today that I think speaks to you. They went out of their way to be near Jesus. This is the big holiday weekend. People have gone everywhere. But you have gone out of your way on the big holiday weekend to be near Jesus. Hallelujah. Some people are here from other countries on holiday. I met some people from Canada. A lot of people never go to church on holidays, but the Canadians here have. How about we give them a round of applause? They're from all over Canada on holidays. So, guys, you have gone out of your way on your holidays to be near Jesus. Everything in the Bible points to a very simple fact. If we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, Hebrews says. So my 45 years of experience as a born-again Christian, and if you read through the scripture, it's the same. When you and I put ourselves out to be near Jesus, he's watching. He's listening. He sees it. And in my experience, and from what we can see in the scripture, he blesses. He heals. He gives hope. Hallelujah. They went out of their way to be near Jesus. So they're all there and Jesus is teaching them. And there are thousands there. And then the disciples go to Jesus and they say something very simple. And it is my conviction. This sentence is prophetic to some people here. Because they said, to Jesus, send the people away to get food. This is a lonely, desolate place, and the time is late. Are you in a lonely place? Is the clock ticking for you? Lonely, desolate place? If any of us are physically sick, it's very isolating. If we're in a relationship breakup or trouble and our hearts are broken, you could be surrounded by loads of people, but your pain is quite isolating. If you are suffering mental health or anxiety, it's isolating. If you're trying to overcome an addiction, it's isolating. If you are facing trouble financially or relationally, it can be isolating. This is a lonely, desolate place, they declared. A lonely, desolate situation. How can I find help here? How can I find help here? How can you find help in your situation? Here's the first bit of the word of hope. You've already come out of your way to draw near Jesus. You would not be in a church like this on a Sunday in the middle of the peak holiday time unless you had something going on in your life that you wanted to be near Jesus. So how can we find help in our situations? The lonely, desolate situation cannot impact the spiritual reality. I prophesy it into your life. If you're feeling lonely, if you think your situation is desolate, God is not subjected to your lonely, isolated situation. Would anyone say hallelujah? This poor man cried out to the Lord, the psalmist heard. And God heard him and answered him. Hallelujah. So the spiritual reality, I want to give you hope today from a biblical point of view. Spiritual reality is always different from the physical situation in these cases. Why were the people there? Why did they even go there? And I'm asking why they went there because I think it shows why we have come here. They came there because they already saw something of Jesus' power earlier on. In Capernaum, he was healing. Blind people could see. Lepers were cleansed. Those who were sick got better. Those with demons were set free. They saw the power of God. That's why they followed him. Can I submit to you, you have seen the power of God at some stage in your experience. Perhaps you saw it quite recently. I know I'm simplifying it when I say that's why they were there and that's why we are here. I know I'm oversimplifying it. I know that many of us want to serve God. We want to be a vibrant part of the community. We want to be faithful to the Lord. That is all true and very necessary. But deep down somewhere, we know he's the answer. He's the hope. He's the healer who'll say amen.
Amen.
That's why they were there, and that's why we are here. I know I've been carrying this for a few months and I wrote it down in my journal back in April, and so I've been waiting a while to share the simple word, but I do know that I feel God is saying it's prophetic. So in the lonely, desolate place, Jesus is there. It doesn't impact what he's going to do, and that's true for your situation. The second part of that quite depressing sentence that the disciples shared was about time. First of all, it was a lonely place. Secondly, verse 36, the time is already late. Some of us here think it's too late for you. It's too late for me. I've been a pastor many decades and I have heard this statement so often. And do you know what shocks me? It's young people say it more than anyone else. I failed the exam. It's too late. I struggle with anxiety or mental health. It's too late. I had a guy a while back And he said, I'm 22. I haven't found a girl I can marry. It's too late. And then I said, well, I was married at 21 myself, you know. So, no, it's not too late. It is not too late. It's too late because I couldn't get the apartment or the house I was hoping for. It's too late because I didn't get that job. Or maybe it is an age thing. Maybe it is an age thing. God is never confined by age. He is the God. Like, if you're a certain age and you think it's too late, can I tell you, that's a lie?
Yeah.
Well, say amen.
Amen.
On one end of the scale, God raised up 17-year-old boys in a culture where no one would even look at you until you were 30. And yet he raised up Jeremiah the prophet. He raised up John the Beloved, the disciple who was closest to him, the only one of the men who went to the cross and stayed with Jesus there. He raised him up, and church history clearly tells us he was only about 17 at the beginning. So God wasn't too pushed out about that. Paul said to Timothy, let no one despise you because of your youth. But at the other end, we see God raising up people who were well over 80. And they were doing mighty things from God. Look at Caleb. And he said to Joshua, can I take the mountain? Because if we can take the mountain, we can get the enemy off there and we'll take the land for God. Hallelujah. So God has never been confined by age. Can I nail the lie that some of us are thinking? It is not too late for you. You're waiting to meet your significant other. It is not too late for you. I can point out couples here who fell in love and got married for the first time in their 50s. Hallelujah. Okay. I have to wait like 55. God's time is perfect. You see, God has a different clock, brothers and sisters. God dwells outside of time. You and I live in time. Yes, we are subject to time, but God can overrule the time limitations in our lives. Does anyone agree with that?
Yes.
He's outside time. If you want to delve into it, you don't even have to be a believer. You don't even have to believe in God. Take a look at Einstein's theory of relativity, and you can see how time differs in different parts of the galaxy, of the universe that we are in. God is outside time, but he can break into time. And he can rescue us from time's ticking. So God has a different clock. It was too late in Tabgha. It was evening time. If they had stayed in Capernaum, they could have gone to the market and bought bread and bought cooked fish. And they could have bought lamb or vegetables. But now it's too late in the day. They should have stayed back there. And what is fascinating is that the only one who bought any food was a boy. What about all the women? What about, they were cleaning, were they? They were ironing, I'd say. Why didn't all the mothers bring food? Why didn't all the fathers or the men bring any food? Why is it only a boy? You see, God is no respecter of people. If you dismiss someone, you mightn't ever say it, but in your heart or in your head, you dismiss them because they're the wrong colour, they're the wrong gender, they're women rather than men, or they're young rather than old, or they aren't educated enough, or whatever, they don't have enough hair. That's the biggest lie ever. Hallelujah. Amen. If we dismiss people like that, we might be dismissing God's word into our lives and God's power in our lives. So this young boy had the food. So here's an interesting one. But look at what Jesus said when they came to him. He said, you give them something to eat. This is Jesus saying to his disciples, you have a part to play in the miracle I want to do. He's saying that to you and me today. You and I have a part to play. What was their part? To go out and see what food was there. Can you imagine? 12 of them going around to thousands. Have you any food? No. Any food? No, nothing. There's a woman with her children. Have you any food? No, nothing. No. How many people here have had a lot of no's recently in their lives? Anyone brave enough to put up a hand? Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 5, 6, 7, 8. Don't all the no's, can't they get you down? No. But his words are yes and amen. Yes and amen. And the disciples could have despaired with all the no's. You see, what Jesus was saying to them was, you take the first step of faith. Jesus will work through you and through me. But we just need to take a step of faith. Each journey, even however long it is, begins with the first step. But so many people today are overwhelmed with the thought of the journey. Brothers, sisters, take the first step. Take the first step. Trust in God. He'll bring you through. Hallelujah. Jesus will work through you. So he worked through them. They bought the food to him. You know the story. They only found 5 loaves and 2 fish with maybe 25,000 hungry people there. That's all they had. And you might come here today, and I'm sure you know this illustration. You might say, I am so weak. I really do not feel like a great Christian. The thing is, in this situation, it starts with just a little. We know what Jesus said. If you even have faith like a tiny seed, a mustard seed, the tiniest of all, then God can do something. So here we are today. Here they are, a lonely, desolate place. The time is already too late. And all they have is this tiny thing. You see, we can get very negative in our thinking, can't we? We can remember all the no's. We can be overwhelmed with the journey ahead of us. And somehow, somewhere right in the middle, here's a little bit of hope. Can I be a voice of hope today? Something happened to this tiny little bit of bread that changed everyone's experience. Before that happened, Jesus said something very interesting. Seat the people in groups of 50, he said to the disciples. Pentecost was on the 50th day of the Jewish calendar. When you read in the Old or the New Testament, the number 50, even in the measurements of the tabernacle, for example, you know it's speaking of the Holy Spirit's power. So when all of these men and women and children sat in groups of 50, it's like they were ready for the power of God, for the Holy Spirit miracle to start in their lives. Can I pray in just a little while that this coming week, maybe even the bank holiday tomorrow, we will get news. We will see the first evidence of a breakthrough in our lives. In our families, who say amen. In our health, in our finances, in our relationships. So before anything happened, they were ready. They were in formation for the Holy Spirit to move. And we're told, you know the story, then taking the bread, Jesus looked up to heaven. He gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples to distribute. What happened as he did that simple test? There were no angels. There was no lightning or thunder. He just broke the bread, and it increased, and it increased. So much so, we're told, over 5,000 men ate, and all were satisfied. Men have bigger appetites usually, don't we, brothers? I'm not going to admit to that. Is it fair to say men eat more than women usually? Would any man admit to that? Because I'm admitting to it. Okay. Yeah, I think we've got bigger appetite. If all the men were satisfied, I'd say it's fairly safe to guess the women and children were satisfied as well. Would you think that's fair? Yeah. So everybody there had enough to eat. Can you imagine when God moves in miracles, when God moves in power, and everyone is satisfied? Imagine if every one of us here This is our third service today. If we count us all together over the three services, imagine if we were all satisfied by this day next week because God did something supernatural. When I read 5,000, I always think of a miracle that happened in our city here of Cork in the 1700s when John and Charles Wesley, the guys who founded the Methodist Revival, visited the city, and there was a lot of animosity against them. A lot of the traditional Catholicism was very against them. But they, about 10 minutes walk from here, they stood outside what was then known as the Mansion House. It's the Mercy Hospital today. And they just said, "We're going to pray this afternoon." And out of nowhere, a couple of hours later, 5,000 people gathered in Granville Place and went on their knees and started praying. And then John Wesley, the guy who wrote all the hymns, said, "We're going to meet again tonight." And they reckon at that stage it was up to 50,000 people came to pray in our city. We are on the edge of the empire. We are way out, brothers and sisters, in the far-flung corner of the vineyard, and yet way out where we are, God moves. Thousands came to pray. God started moving wonderfully. How much can he do in your life and my life? If we only have a grain of mustard faith to believe, he can do it. And so Jesus broke the bread in a lonely, desolate situation late in the day, and the miracle began with just breaking that bread. We have the bread and wine here on the first Sunday of every month. This is the first Sunday of August. And we bring grapes. Remember, the wine was the fruit of the grape. So you can have a grape. It's just as biblical as having a glass of wine. And because we have a lot of people in recovery here as well, we don't want to stumble anyone with alcohol. But we have the grapes. But also today we have what they had back then. The bread tended to be flatbread. This is wholemeal flatbread. So it's very similar. And this type of bread is what Jesus would have broken. And when Jesus looked up to heaven, thanked the Lord, and broke it, as soon as he broke it, the power of God was unleashed. And what I want to do today, brothers and sisters, if you're up for it, is that we all do that together. And that we break this flatbread together and we pray. Whatever situation you're praying for, just as God, Jesus broke the bread and God moved in power and multiply it, that God would do a breakthrough in our lives. Are you up for doing it? So the band, can you come up, lads? So we're going to invite you up in just a moment and we're going to break the bread and take the grapes. But we're doing it differently. We're going to ask in a moment that you would come up and take it back to your seat. And then once we all have gotten it, we're going to do it together. We're going to hold it up to the Lord. We're going to tear or break the bread and pray as we remember what he did, that he will do something miraculous in our lives or in the life of someone that we're praying for. So could we stand, brothers and sisters? We're going to sing a song that we sang a little earlier. I asked for it. It's called I Speak Jesus. I have seen so many people with horrific problems come in our door. And so many of you are here, even today. You are living testimonies to the power of God. People who are suicidal. People who are given up to addiction. People who are lost in hopelessness. And here you are today. Who'll say hallelujah? God, Jesus, changes lives and changes situations. So let's sing this through once, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to invite you to come up in just a moment. The way we work it is, you come up one of the center aisles, and then you go back down around through one of the side aisles. We have four aisles. Rather than breaking bread at the table, you just take a grape and a piece of bread and go back to your seat and wait. But before we do that, let's sing this and then we'll pray. Just walk to speak the name of Jesus. probably very skeptical. You don't really believe God can do a miracle. I'm not going to say that that's okay, because the people of Nazareth had no faith, so Jesus didn't bother doing miracles there. But where there was a little bit of faith, there he did the miracles. All I know is that I have a need in my personal life, and I'm going to pray that God will do a miracle and break through for someone I'm praying for. And can I challenge you in a courteous way and encourage you? Have a little bit of faith. God can break in through your life or into the life of someone you love. So I'm just going to thank God for the emblems of the bread and the wine. And then Dara, I'll be here to greet you. Dara will be over here to greet you. Again, just take the grape and the bread and go back to your seats. But just let's thank God first. If you're okay with it, will we lift our hands to the Lord? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus on earth. You left the purity of heaven and you came into the pollution of a broken world where sin and bondage and darkness reigned. But you are the great liberator. You are the healer. You are the one who gives us redemption and salvation. And so as your people, we take the time to thank you today for the bread, which symbolizes your broken body, for the fruit of the grape, which symbolizes your blood, which makes us clean. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us to have a future. We pray now, O God, as we come and take the bread and the grape back to our seat, that as we walk up, you would walk with us. Thank you for your power and your love in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you'd like to come up, if you don't want to come up, that's fine. Nobody's judging you. But if you'd like to take the bread and wine, we're here to greet you. Okay.
Oh,
took the bread and wine at the earlier, but you can take some if you want to again, guys. Could we stand, please, as we take the grape, which is the juice of the vine, and the bread. So we're just going to pray together and do it together. Normally we do it individually here, but I just feel today we should do it this way. So if you could take the grape in your hand, and we thank you, Lord, that your blood makes us clean. Praise you, God. Amen. And if we could hold the bread up, this is what God put on my heart. You don't have to do it if you don't want to, but just as we hold this bread, we're just going to give thanks to God, and we're going to break it, and we're going to pray that the power that was released in that lonely place late in the day would be released in your life and my life. So, I know this might sound strange, but Jesus looked up to heaven. We've only got a ceiling, but heaven is up. When we look up to heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken for us. And we pray now, O God, with all our hearts, in sincerity, in humility, and in brokenness, as we break this bread and eat it, we pray, O God, not only would we be satisfied physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, in every way. So as we break the bread, let your power be unleashed in our lives or in the lives of the people we love, in Jesus' name. Amen. Will we break it together, guys? May God's power and miracle-working action be released in your life, starting now, in Jesus' name. Saying to some of us here, there's a big storm coming to the north of the country tomorrow. They're warning people to stay indoors. I think we won't get it too bad down here. But this is a word I've had all day, and that is, there are people here who are shell-shocked. I saw a mental picture in my mind, I believe it's from the Holy Spirit, of people whose hair was all over the place. They were quite disheveled, and it's like the storm had really disturbed them. But in the picture, I saw the Lord combing down the hair, calming the person who was upset, and just breathing peace into them. Some of us need that peace today. So before we close, in just a little while, can we close our eyes? And if you are one of those people and you know you've been in a storm and you're quite unsettled because of it, could you lift up your hand wherever you are? Okay. I see your hands. I see all your hands. You don't have to, but I'm going to invite you to leave your seat one more time and come to the top, because I am deeply burdened to pray that you would feel and experience the peace of God coming into your situation right now. So if you want to leave your seat and come up, we're going to pray for you. If you don't want to leave your seat, that's fine. Just come forward and we're going to just lay hands and pray over you. Hallelujah. Praise God. No matter how bad any storm is in any of our lives, he is our peace. Amen. He is the one who will keep us safe. Amen. He's the one who will look after us. Amen. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord, brothers, sisters, those of you who are praying for this? Dara, maybe you would just lay hands on people's heads, just to touch their head or their shoulder as we come around. Could I ask those guys in the congregation, those who aren't in that situation, if you're okay with it, would you just point a hand forward just to pray for these guys? It takes a lot of courage and humility to come up to the front at a time like this. We pray in the name of the one who was and is to come. We pray in the name of the one who sent the demons running and screaming. We pray to the name who is the name above every name, Jesus, that right now, Lord, you would come and stand with each one of our brothers and sisters, that you would bring a calmness into their souls, that you would speak peace into their troubled hearts, and their thoughts would become focused and calm on you and you alone. Thank you, Jesus. Your light breaks through every shadow. So we pray every shadow represented in these lives would be pierced by the light of Jesus. Would anyone say amen? Amen. May the light of God come into your heart, come into your mind in a way you never saw before. We pray healing would break out. We pray the bad news some of us have heard would be turned around for the good. We believe God works all things together for good for those who love him. Can you say amen to that? So may God bring you peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name. God is saying to some here, you got bad news recently, and you need to leave the bad news on the altar here. If you got bad news, would you lift up your hand? Okay. Could you just, if that's not you, you can go back to your seat. Thank you, guys. But if you have bad news, just stay here. Just want to pray with you individually as well. Praise God. Are we ready, guys? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just pray for Dennis now. And this bad news, Lord, we pray you would turn it to good. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that no child of God is subject to man's decision. But we pray your decision would break through. Holy Spirit, unleash your power and help our brother to be an overcomer and to be one who comes through this storm. And that as you speak peace into his life, I pray in Jesus' name that the bad news would turn to good news and that he would be a man who would learn from this and share that experience in future times. But right now, Lord, carry him through. In Jesus' mighty name, and God's people said, amen. 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 Praise God. We're going to sing this song just one last time before we close. Let's sing it as a declaration for your week and for my week ahead. Ben.
Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness,
Jesus in the darkness, over every
Has anyone prayed out? Okay, you'd be afraid to say it anyway. Let's pray that the fire of God will break out this afternoon.
Amen.
And tonight.
Amen.
And through the bank holiday tomorrow in your home.
Amen.
And wherever you are.
Amen.
We give ourselves to the Lord before we close. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we met with you in this place today. As we sang, as we heard, as we mixed, we sensed you in this place, walking up and down. We pray your fire and your power would break in to our homes this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, and for the week ahead. We pray particularly for the 75 teenagers locked in here for a couple of days. We pray your Holy Spirit would set them free from all that ails them, O God. And for the rest of the weekend and the week ahead, we pray for one another the ancient prayer. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.